Für alle ein Fest. Zum Aldi-Tiefpreis. Diese Woche Funny Frisch Chips Frisch. 150 Gramm für nur 88 Cent. Oder Langnese Crimissimo. Ab 825 Milliliter für nur 1,49 Euro. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Just want to let everybody know that on June 18th, we're dropping The Yeezus Book, an illustrated narrative guide to Kanye West's sixth solo effort. It's featuring an in-depth look through the music, influence, themes, and production of one of the most hotly debated rap records of all time. It is a big, beautiful coffee table book that is really flashy and attention-grabbing and full of unique Yeezus-inspired art. It also, of course, has intense musical analysis written by myself and Chris Lambert of the Watching the Throne podcast, Donald Martin of The Most Unruly, and Martin Connor of Rap Analysis. You can find the book on KeenShotPress.com.
Everybody wants to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked, I don't get enough of it. Yeezus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne, a lyrical analysis of Kanye West. My name is Chris Lambert, and today we're doing a story with DZ Brown.
Yo, 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 what's up? What's up, everybody?
Yo, introduce yourself, let everybody know.
Yeah, for sure. My name is DZ Brown. I'm originally from Bastrop, Texas. I reside now in Austin, Texas, and I'm an inspiring artist and a huge fan of Kanye West. And I've been doing music for about all of my life, I guess. But, you know, it's going and it's flowing well. But, you know, if you do follow my music or don't follow me, you know, just type in D-E-E-Z-I-E, DZ Brown. And you can get to know me a little bit better.
Yeah, and I came across DZ from the South by Southwest listings. And I was just like, yeah, oh, Austin sure. Rapper. And put on his album, Judith. And, like, I'm not trying to hyperbolize this, but it's the closest album I've felt to what I felt with listening to Kanye from anybody else.
You're making me blush.
Yeah, it's just just from the soundscape to the lyrics to everything it's doing, I'm just like, fuck, this is what I want from music.
For sure, sure. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize, I mean, I did a lot of studying, man. I broke My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy down, you know, to a T, you know, and I listened to the elements, and so that's kind of why it sounds like that, you know. It sounds like Kanye's little minion brother or something. But I have fun with the project, so I really appreciate you jamming it and listening to it.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's continued to be on cycle in my car.
That's what's
and
up.
Just listening and listening again. And I was telling you earlier, like, every time it goes through, I get to another point where I say out loud in my car, just like, this is so fucking good. and kind of like look around. And I'm like, nobody.
That's cool.
Should I tweet it to him? Like, nobody.
That's super, super cool. And I think that's my biggest fear, man, because I dropped it, you know, independently, of course.
Yeah.
So there's no label behind it. But I definitely think that it's one of those things that you're going to be able to go back on and say, yo, this is crazy. You know, oh, yo, I found this at a record store. You know, it's like, oh, I didn't even know this existed. You know, this cat resembles Kanye, so I'm satisfied with it.
When it sounds like something, like, I feel like there's a general sound that we're used to in hip-hop these days, just in pop music in general.
Yep, for sure.
And this album doesn't get into any of that to me. It's very much in that My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy phase of feeling like broken out of time and place.
Yeah, and I think that's what I focused on. You know, I don't listen to the radio at all, so I don't know what's trending. I don't know what's going on. I basically just studied that album and tried to figure out ways to keep myself in my own lane, but kind of still blended what was going on at the time. It's like, as far as Kendrick and all the other rappers and the flow patterns and the styles, you know. So I mean, that was a really huge key point for me, which is kind of like building my own space and then mixing it with all of the elements I learned from that album. So that's kind of like where it went and where I got it from.
Well, so when you were breaking My Beautiful Dark Twisted mm-hmm. Fantasy down to its elements, what surprised you? Because you had been a fan of the album, obviously, before.
Yeah. When I listened to that album, it made me feel like I had never heard anything like that before. You know what I'm saying? Like, from the opera sounds and the guitars coming in out of nowhere. Like, I had never heard or seen just the visuals. I had never seen anything like that before. So I was super inspired, man. And it took me like 2 years to finish that album just because I wanted every single element in my brain to come out onto the project, man. So it's kind of hard to explain, man, but I don't know. It was definitely a process. It was a process, but I'm glad we got it going.
So it's your own kind of Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Yeah, you could say that. There's some 808 and Heartbreak vibes in there. There's all kinds of stuff in there, man, but yeah.
Yeah. Was anything surprise you in that process? Where you're just like, I never thought about that regarding the album.
I don't know about surprise me. I mean, I will say I never imagined like live guitars being on any of my music. And so when I got that first guitar back, it was on Anna Winter, Every Winter. That's the first piece I got back where I reached out to the producer and I was like, look, listen to this and then mimic it and see what you can do. And he sent it back. I was like, oh man, it's about to be crazy. It's about to be crazy. So that was the experience I had as far as just like being surprised.
And I've read some of the interviews that you've done, and Kanye comes up, and the influence of Kanye comes up.
Yeah, for sure.
And are you happy with those comparisons? Just sometimes you're like, well, I have my own sound. Like,
yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm satisfied with people making those comparisons because I made that album off of what the industry placed in front of me. You know, I made that album off of like, yo, the industry says this is what you have to do to be successful. So I went and I picked all of the things that they said that I have to be successful with and I crafted that out. So when people come at me and say, oh, it sounds like Kanye, it sounds like Travis, I'm like, yeah, it does. It does. It really does. I mean, this is what the industry placed in front of me, you know, and say, yo, this is what success looks like. Do it. And I did that. You know, even though I was brainwashed a bit, you know, I still did it and I still came out with this cohesive project. So
yeah, because I imagine doing the opposite of that, where you're like, oh, yeah, this is what's been successful. Fuck all that. Like, I'm just gonna go and bang on a tambourine.
Exactly.
Rap over that.
Exactly.
Do you have a favorite moment on the album?
Favorite moment on the album? I don't know, man. I'd say Toast to Balenciaga. That song, I think it took us like almost 7 months to finish.
Shit.
You know, we were going back and forth from, do we leave guitars in? And I had my buddy on the bridge of that song, and you know, he was crafting out his ideas. So I think that moment and spending that much time on that record meant a lot to me because of Kanye spending so much time on All of the Lights. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He said that song was, he was working on that song for years, you know, and all of the features and how that was. And that's how I wanted to do it. But I don't think anybody was, I don't want to sound like cocky or anything, but I don't think anybody was on the level I was on as far as just like making that song something huger than it already was. And so, I don't know. I mean, I definitely think it'd be that one. It'd be that one.
There's something to the idea of like leveling up a song. Like, it sounds good, but like, when you're a fan of Kanye and you understand, mm-hmm. like,
you know, you gotta push.
And that's one of my that's one of my favorite stories about like the College Dropout leaked.
Yeah.
And Kanye's like, okay. And went back and like added shit, shit.
I never knew that till right now.
Yeah, made it different. Wow. And then when it came out, and it was only like 2 weeks between it leaked and when it actually came out, and he went back and added shit, shit.
Okay. And so that probably explains like the interlude at the end and stuff like that. That's crazy. Okay.
Yeah. And it's just, it's funny to think like, yeah, he went and was like, okay, this is okay. And now people have that.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him something. Yeah. I'm going to give him something next level.
Exactly.
And so where in the process of this album, in terms of your career, would you kind of place it? It's the first kind of major, solo album for you.
Mm-hmm. And what do you mean? What do you mean by like?
I guess like just where you're at in terms of putting out music. Is this kind of like the introduction for like the larger?
Yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, this is more of an intro. I definitely wanted to do an album like this just to see if I could do it. You know, after I heard, you know, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, I was like, I got to figure out how I can put an album out like that, you know, and I feel like this is that album. Like, okay, cool, I did it. You know, now, you know, I kind of want to move on to trying to find my own sound and still blend some of those elements I learned from Kanye in there. But I want people to be like, oh, that sounds like a DZ track. You know, I want to like definitely lock that in. So I definitely think say this is more like an intro to my career moving forward. Yeah.
Hell yeah. And then in terms of being a Kanye fan and having such like an understanding of where he went in his career, what how does that come into play for you and just your perspective on what's next?
That's crazy. It's crazy you asked that. I want to start producing.
Yeah.
I want to start producing. I've been on eBay looking for MPC 2000s everywhere. They're around $500-$600. So I definitely want to get into that aspect of music, learning more, you know. So I think that's kind of where I want to go.
It seems like a...
It's definitely, as I'm looking on YouTube, it's not easy, you know. Well, I mean, what is, though? What is easy? And so, but that's definitely something I do want to jump into, is just as far as learning that aspect of it, you know.
Yeah, because that's empowering in a way, too, to be able to have that and not just have to be sending back to this person.
Yeah, and finding and searching for stuff and dealing with that whole jazz. It's it's nonsense, but it's definitely something I want to dive into.
Well, speaking of diving into things, Kanye on Twitter today.
Oh my gosh, where do we start?
Yeah, where do we start with that?
Yeah.
Today's the day, just for reference, that Kanye had kind of like the all day tweets with the I still love Donald Trump, make America great again hats, Donald Trump tweeting him back, and just causing all sorts of kind of
chaos,
in just the conversation.
Yeah, like, definitely.
I think I saw earlier, before you guys got here, it was 1.5 million tweets today just about Kanye.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. Like,
that's insane. But you know what? I think this is good because it's forcing people to express the way they feel. And that's what it should be about. You know, a lot of people are not going to like Kanye. A lot of people will like Kanye. But you're forcing people to talk and voice, you know, their voice. You know, we have this right to say whatever we want to say. And he's basically giving us reasons to talk. It's like, yo, you love it, you hate it, who cares? Voice it, say it. You know, you have a voice. You are a creator, you're an artist, you are whatever you are. Voice whatever you have to voice right here, right now. I'm giving you the opportunity. And I think that's the cool thing about it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like when you put it in the frame of politics and the current political climate, you can see why people would be freaking out about this or that, sometimes overdramatically. Yeah. But when you put it in the frame of just like day-to-day life, being empowered as a creative artist, as somebody that's like working and living, it has an entirely different meaning about feeling that kind of empowerment.
That's very true. I definitely will agree with you on that one. I don't know. I mean, and there's some things in there that I don't think people understand. I think they're reading it from this bottom line and not looking at it as the bigger picture of things. You know, when you think Kanye, you got to be thinking way out. You can't be thinking right now, because if you're thinking right now, then he's going to lose you. And I think that's what's happening. I think that's where people are becoming lost. It's like, oh, what? He's wearing a Make America, what is it, great again? I don't even know what the hat says. Great again hat, you know. Oh, he's endorsing Donald Trump. It's like, no, he's not, man. He's trying to create some type of, you know, space in between the negativity of what's going on. He's spreading love somehow, even in the most, you know, horrible way. He's trying to spread love. You know, there's situations where we have to deal with this in everyday life. You know, there's situations where two people are together with children, and then one person decides to opt out of the relationship and cheat. Now you have this relationship with these two children, and you still have to love that person. You still have to find ways to love that person for the kid's sake, right? Yeah. But at the same time, you know what I'm saying? Now we're speaking on Donald Trump, and it's like, yo, he's doing the same exact thing. He's finding ways to love this person no matter what the circumstances are. You know, and I think we got to think about it in that way, and then we can probably, you know, go down the road a little bit smoother.
Yeah. And you talk about Kanye being like a futurist.
Yeah.
In that way. And there's something about, I almost feel like he views Donald Trump as this somebody that was outside politics, mm-hmm. that entered into politics at the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
And it does it. He's not concerned with the micro, the specifics of it, the drama of the last 2 years, the drama of the next 2 years.
For sure.
But he's just viewing it as like, if you look at what this did and the current this creates, or how this diverts the energy of how it was to this new realm of things.
Yeah.
That in and of itself is like a really interesting topic. But then when you scramble it all up with all the politics, it becomes
one-sided, very one-sided. When you view it that way, it's more of an opportunity. You know, he, from the outside looking in, he's like, yo, this band just got elected president of the United States. You know, anything is possible is probably what's going through his mind.
Which is what he was saying in some of the tweets, like, I'm being me, and that should allow you to be you.
Exactly.
And if this person was able to do this thing and have the opportunity now, like, you have that same opportunity, so go for it.
Exactly, exactly. It's giving us, it's putting it right there in front of us. We're not even taking it. No. I'm taking it. I don't know at all. I'm taking it in, for sure.
Hell yeah. That was a... one of the comparisons, cause that all or nothing kind of thing, like, he supports some aspect of Trump. Does that mean he supports everything?
Yeah.
One of the conversations I had that I thought was interesting, somebody was saying that, and I was like, well, what if you're still a Louis C.K. fan, and somebody was accusing you of liking, or of being a sexual assault supporter, or like a apologist at that point, just because you still liked Louis C.K.'s comedy?
Right.
Can Kanye not like the performance artist aspects of Trump without being labeled then a racist or
I think he tweeted this, and he, I think I can't quote it, but you know, he said, I don't agree with everything, you know, but you know, I still love him, you know, and I think that creates some separation, you know, when it comes to everything else that's applied with Donald Trump. Because there's a lot of stuff that goes along with Donald Trump, you know, but
yeah,
I think what Ye is trying to say is there's certain parts of him that he can love, you know, and that's, it is what it is, you know, he's free enough to have his own opinion and have his own rights to love what he wants to love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. For
absolutely.
Sure.
Well, Kanye, when did you first start listening? When did you become...
Ooh, that's a good question, dude. I mean, I think, of course, I started listening to Kanye West when College Dropout released, of course. But in middle school, I listened to a lot of Jay-Z. You know, my dad always... My dad had every Jay-Z album, and he was so mad at me because I used to take the CDs, and I used to take the inserts out of the CDs and put them in my backpack and go to school like, yeah, I got that Jay-Z. Like, that was the thing for me, you know? And Blueprint 1, I think that record was called Never Change, which was produced by Kanye. I'm still fucking with crime because crime pays, out hustling, same clothes for days. I never change. I'm too stuck in my ways. Like, yay. Like, and I didn't know that, you know, until like years on. I was like, yo, Ye produced that, you know? It was like, and so I feel in my heart, you know, that being my jam, that was my first encounter with Kanye, you know, and that was my first, like, yo, I like this cat, you know, by just listening to Jay-Z, you know. But I think when all Through the Wire came out and All Falls Down, I used to sit in the mirror and just rap All Falls Down. Like, that video for me was crazy, seeing his jaw in the what was that, the metal detector in the airport. Like, that whole era, just like, I was like, I'm a fan. I'm definitely a fan.
Those music videos are just insane.
Yeah.
Like, from the get-go, he's just had insane music videos.
Definitely. And even that first one, Through the Wire, where he had to come out $40,000 of his own money, you know, to make that happen. Like, that right there was like, yo, you know, this is crazy. This industry is crazy, but you got to want it. You got to be hungry, you know. And for sure, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and... Did those early Kanye albums kind of leave a blueprint for you?
Definitely, man. Definitely left some. And what's crazy is, I think on Late Registration, it was a record called Drive Slow.
Yeah.
And to see him like collaborate with someone from Texas, that made me feel really good. Like, oh, you know, this is possible. I'm about to be on a song with Kanye one day. You know what I'm saying? I'm from Texas. So I think that for sure, too, has kind of helped me just keep driving and keep pushing. And then, of course, everything else that came with it, like the first Yeezys that came out, that were Yeezy ones with big, you know, chunky things with the, like, I was inspired by all of that, you know. So I definitely think that, yeah, that those first stages with the sampling and seeing how cool it was to, like, be in this era where you can be a producer and rap at the same time was everything for me. So
yeah,
definitely.
What and then were you worried when Late Registration came out, like, the second album, will I still like what's there?
At the time, no, I wasn't, you know. I was still listening to a lot of Jay, you know, and so I was a really big fan of all of that sampling and, like, those soulful samples. You know, I was a huge fan of that. So, you know, once that came out, you know, it was definitely a process to where, like, okay, I want more, you know. So definitely stuck with me for a while.
And I feel like there's, for a lot of Kanye fans, there's a push and pull dynamic with the fact that all of his albums are so different.
Yeah, that's genius.
There's some people that are just like, I love the first three albums, but then, like, or first, like, three, and then my, like, 808s and Heartbreaks, like,
yeah,
no, like, Yeezus, no.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like Yeezus. That's weird. I think that's genius. I think it's genius when an artist can make all of his fans gravitate to this one spot and then leave and go way over here and leave them there thinking that, oh man, like, we don't know what's next. Like, right now we're all in this The Life of Pablo era. We thinking that we're going to hear more of, you know, Wolves or what was the second record? I can't even think of what it was called.
Father Search My
Hands. Yeah, that stuff like that. Right now, that's what we're thinking. We don't know what we're going to get. And I think that's the coolest thing ever, you know. And Kendrick does that a lot too. Kendrick does that well, you know. Brings his fans here, and then he'll go way over here, and then you just go running right over to where he is, you know. And I think that's genius, honestly. That's super genius.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of musicians will just get their style, and that's just what they keep.
Yeah, they'll just go with it. And that's cool, you know, but that's boring.
It's very boring.
Yeah, I'm not with the boring.
No, that's one of the things that, like, first attracted me to Kanye was the fact that it's just like, I don't know what I'm gonna.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm gonna get, and I liked this, but I love this.
Yeah.
And now I love this more, and, like, I don't know. Yeah. It's just kind of like...
And it's funny because, like, you get friends and family members that try to talk you out of being so addicted to it. It's like, why you like him so much? He's this, he's that. He's like, man, I don't care. What are you going to do? What? I'm going to stop listening to him? So I think that's cool, too. But, you know, and then you got to think about the artwork aspect. A lot of people forget about that. Like, a lot of people forget about how the artwork can just push you to love someone even more. You know, and I put that into my own aspect, in my own music, in my own craft. It's like, yo, I got to focus on this artwork. Now, this is the first thing people see before they even hit play. So, you know, it's so many things that factor in, dude.
Was there still a My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy influence on the Judith cover?
There was, as far as the Jesus being on the back of the bike. I felt like, you know, I was talking about a lot of things in the album, and I didn't want people to think that I was going in another direction. I wanted them to know, like, yo, look, I'm going here. Jesus is with me. I don't know where I'm going. That's why he's with me. You know, I don't know. I'm saying a lot of stuff. I'm speaking on a lot of topics, but he's with me, and he's going to guide the way. And I think I learned that from listening, you know, to Power and seeing, you know, all of the artwork and everything that went along with, you know, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Yeah.
It really sets a tone. Yeah. Like, the head with the sword through
it. Yeah. That probably will forever be his, what is it? I don't even know what it's called. His Twitter photo.
Yeah.
Is that still
it?
Or did he change it?
Yeah, no, it's still that.
Yeah, it'll probably stay low forever.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, it definitely,
like,
is.
If I keep thinking, like, do I want that as a tattoo?
I've never thought of that, but that's clutch.
Like, that'd be, I've seen some cool ones, too, that are, like, more geometric.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just like, I kind of want it.
For sure.
And the Judith art, it's cool because it looks like it's going to be flat, but there's a little, like, dimensionality to it.
As far as the hard copy or the...
The painting. The painting.
Yeah, it definitely looks clayish, huh? Yeah. That guy is good. His name's Gennaro. Gennaro Good. And I met with him through a friend, and I seen his work, and I presented the idea to him. And he was like, say no more, you know. And I was like, all right, cool. And he sent some drafts back, and I was like, yo, this is crazy. This is going to be crazy. So I hope Kanye sees it one day. I think he'd love it.
I hope so, too.
I think he loved the artwork. I think he loved the music.
if I ever get to meet Kanye,
you gotta give him. We need to give him an extra CD.
I'm just gonna be like, yo, yay. By the way,
yeah,
you're looking for music.
Exactly.
I got an album for you.
For sure.
When the album itself, the CD has that kind of Yeezus influence.
Yeah,
with the
clear or transparent backing. That for me, you know, when I seen that on Yeezus, I was like, I don't care, I'm gonna do it. It may be a bite, it may be a copy, but I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna figure out. And I think the craziest things, the smallest things that get you. It's like, I don't care about anything. I just want the transparent stickers. That was everything for me. Like, yeah. Seeing the back of his album and seeing, like, he put a bunch of stuff on that you didn't even have to put. But it was the most creative thing to me, you know. And when I was searching and I found that, I was like, nope, doing it. Don't care. You can say what you want to say, but I'm doing it. And yeah, so that definitely had a lot of Yeezus influences to it. Yeah.
You're the first, I mean, I don't see a lot of CDs these days, but yeah. That's the first one that I've seen that's kind of had a twist on the Yeezus cover. And now Post Malone's just done a twist on the Yeezus cover.
Have you seen Vince Staples?
I haven't.
Has the same influences as well. It's transparent, and then it has the fish in the middle. Check it out after this interview. And I seen that, and I was like, all right, well, he copied first. So I'm going to copy then, and it doesn't make me a copycat. But yeah, man, I mean, it's Kanye, so you get a pass.
Yeah, he's just like, do whatever.
Yeah, definitely. Like, he puts all of this out here for us, and that's what people forget. Like, this man is paving the way, you know, for us creators to be able to express ourselves and do what we want to do. Yeah. So
he just had a tweet the other day that was, it doesn't matter where you take it from, it matters where you take it to.
Yeah.
Which then led to some controversy, because apparently there's this group that says that he based Yeezus off a Wild EP.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
And took imagery from this guy's, like, artwork, Uncle Luke.
I need to research that.
Yeah.
Uncle Luke, that sounds like the guy from Florida. No, I never heard of that. I'm going to have to research that. But you got to think about that. Like, you have to be influenced by something or somebody.
There's no immaculate conception.
Exactly. You know, a lot of people, you know, confuse that. But for me, I put Kanye in a cup. I put Jay-Z in a cup. With a splash of Kendrick and a little bit of Travis, and I stirred it up, and I made an album. You know, I'm not afraid to say that. It's just how you display it and the creative spin you put on it afterwards.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
There's never a time that I've listened to the album where I've been like, stole that.
Yeah, for sure. And then what's crazy is that, not to toot my own horn, but I'm good at it. I'm good at studying this dude, you know, that no one's going to be brave enough to do it. No one's going to be brave enough to say, I'm going to make a song that sounds like some Kanye. You know, and if they do, it's going to sound like, you know, Click or something like that. That's a little bit more left. You know, it's not going to sound like, you know, Power or something in those lines. So
who is there an album you can think of that's like in the vein of My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy?
No.
I don't think I've heard that.
There's not. But I don't know if you've heard Vince Staples' album. It resembles, in my opinion, it resembles Yeezus.
Okay.
Not from the lyricism, but more so from the bravery in the production and where he went. I felt like he jammed a little bit of Kanye before he crafted it and said, okay, I'm brave enough to do this, you know, and he went in with it. So that's the closest thing I've heard. Honestly,
I need to listen to more Vince Staples.
I like him. Yeah. I like him because he's himself. He's confident. You know, he's gonna say whatever he wants to say, and I love that. I love that in an artist.
So. I saw he had that Kickstarter set up.
That was hilarious.
Shut the fuck up. Like,
if you donate, what is it, $2 million?
Yeah.
If not, then shut the fuck up and let me do it.
Yeah. What did it raise, like? $7,000.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Yeah. It was a real GoFundMe page for it.
Yeah.
Wow. Did not know that.
Yeah, it didn't get close, though. It didn't get anywhere.
I'm sure it didn't. I'm sure.
Which I kind of wish.
Did.
I want to see more, but then part of me is just like, what would have happened?
Yeah, exactly. And then you got to take it back. Since we're on that conversation, you got to take it back and say, Are you brave enough to do that? Remember when Kanye and 50 went at it and he said he was going to retire if Kanye beat him? And then he's like, oh, well, people say stuff all the time. Like, no, you need to retire right now. You know what I'm saying? So
hang it up. Give me your mic.
It's all for, you know, bringing people in. And, you know how that goes.
Yeah, what a feud that was, where they're like hugging and like laughing.
That was super fun. I remember that like it was yesterday. I was in college. I was a freshman. Did not want to be there at all. I think Graduation had just dropped, and I was like, I am out of here. I'm out. This album is crazy. I'm done. So, yeah, man, it's crazy.
What stood out for you on Graduation? Because that was different in a lot of ways to the previous albums.
I think the creative part of him just traveling, and I think he found, like, some samples in Africa. Mm-hmm. I think Common came up on it first, and then like Common passed on something and gave it to him. Like that, just that creative part, man, of like just traveling and finding different things as you maneuver through your journey was crazy for me, man. The artwork was crazy, the sampling was crazy. Everything about that one. Like that's definitely my second favorite album, for sure.
Nice.
Yeah, Big Brother, I Wonder. All that, man. It was Good Morning. Jeez, I can go on forever.
So as a big like Jay-Z fan too, when you heard Big Brother for the first time, were you like,
yeah. Yeah. Because you don't hear artists being that honest.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, J. Cole does it a lot now. I think he's one of the more honest rappers that's not afraid to voice his opinion to other artists and other inspirations. But Kanye really originated that. You know, people were beefing. You know, people were beefing and making diss tracks, but you never really heard someone come on a record and idolize and say, yo, I love this cat. You know, this is what we've been through. This is how I feel about him. This is my big brother, you know. So that was everything to me. And especially what's going on now with them.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you got to just say, go back and listen to it and kind of just like try to apply those things to now, which is hard, but hey, you know, it is what it is.
I'd like to see what would happen if they were both sitting in a room and you just played that album on repeats.
Yeah.
Or that record on repeat.
Yeah.
And just let them...
And I was watching a Jay-Z interview last week.
The Letterman one?
Maybe. No, I don't think it was a Letterman one. I'm not sure who the interview was with, but he asked him about Kanye. And Jay-Z's response was he just didn't agree with some things, but they just needed to have a conversation. That's all. He even referenced Kanye, and he was like, you remember when Kanye said racism's still alive? They just be concealing it? Like, you know, so they still have love for each other. I think they just disagree on some things, you know, and they just need to sit down and talk about it.
Yeah.
Some beats.
Yeah.
Because if Jay-Z hears beats, then, you know, that's an automatic, like, okay, let's do this, you know, so.
Yeah. Pulls that Gucci bucket hat down.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Definitely. It always surprised me, like, getting into the Watch the Throne era, because it was just, like, that was so cool when that record came out, and they were so huge. Mm-hmm. And then, for just, like, 2 years later, it's Kanye's wedding, and Jay's not there. I remember thinking, like, is there something there?
Yeah.
And it's just never...
Exactly. And it's so it sucks so bad, because we don't know what's going on. We can only just guess, like, oh, maybe he just doesn't like the Kardashians, or maybe he doesn't want to be... on camera, because you know they display everything.
Yeah,
which is, you know, it is what it is, but we don't know what really goes on. I mean, because we can look back and they sit next to each other at award shows.
Yeah,
you know, so we really don't know. But I did think that was weird, and I do think that it's weird that we don't see Blue Ivy and North together.
Right, you think, like,
you know, that's something that we like, oh hey, they both got kids around the same age, like, I don't know. Maybe they're not going to be rappers, but maybe they could be something together. Yeah. Like, think about them two together, how huge that would be at whatever they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. So, I guess we'll just have to wait and see how it unfolds.
Yeah, I never thought I'd care so much about celebrity kids.
For real, right?
Care about, yeah. Will Blue Ivy and North ever, exactly, like, hang out?
Exactly. And I almost forgot that Ye had another daughter named Chicago. I totally forgot. You know, it's just like so much is happening that, you know, you forget. When Jay-Z has twins?
Yeah.
And twins. Pharrell has triplets. Okay. Yeah. Jay-Z has twins. It's like, where are they? You know what I'm saying? And I think that's genius. I think that's super genius.
Yeah, they're really good at staying. And
those two. Like, we've never even seen a Jay-Z wedding. Right?
Weird.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's super crazy. So.
Weird.
Yeah. Big time.
That's just gonna be my life goal now. Like, I need to purchase a picture of Jay-Z and Beyonce's wedding.
For sure.
It was funny, like today in all the Twitter madness regarding Kanye. There were times, like, in the midst of all the political stuff, he's just tweeting pictures
of saints.
Or just being like, North had
exactly. While people are like angry, he's like, okay, hey man, I love this guy. And he's like, no, you're not supposed to be tweeting that. You know what I'm saying? I thought that was genius as well.
Yeah.
And that just proves more that, man, you're just trying to spread love. You know, look at it in a different way, man. You're just spreading love, you know, in the most beautiful way, you know, and take it that way, and it'll be a lot easier to digest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, the Good Fridays are coming out. Whew. And did that kind of blow your mind that sound was what was following all the kind of soul samples and
back then when it was coming out? Yeah, man. I love that era. I think I was a more of a huge fan of just like layering the drums underneath the records. Like he was sampling like Ghostface Killer and layering those shake that body, body, let body, and layering those drums under there was so genius to me. And I've yet to figure out how to pull that off. And next album, that's where I'm trying to get. I'm trying to go back digging in the sample era and try to figure out how to do that. But man, that was everything for me.
That's gonna be pretty awesome. Like that's your like odyssey.
That's my goal. I've been listening to Wu-Tang since Monday, trying to just figure out where I want to go. I've never listened to Wu-Tang before. I'm not afraid to say that.
Yeah.
I've never listened to him before just because my dad never had those albums. He had, you know, a lot of Jay-Z albums. He had a lot of UGK albums, and that's kind of what I came up on. So now I'm able to go back and do my research, and that's kind of where I want to go with it.
Nice. I know I sat down at some point and listened to all of Wu-Tang, but I haven't gone back to it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the Cleveland guys?
I know you got Raekwon. I know you got Ghostface Killer. I know you got you want to chime in, Eric?
Inspector Deck.
There you go.
The RZA.
RZA.
What's
a Red Man, Method Man?
I'm thinking of another group that's out of Cleveland. There was like two guys, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Oh, dude.
That's who.
You know what's That is crazy you just said that. Like, that was my very first cassette tape.
Really?
Dude, I was 6 years old, man, and that song used to come on the radio. Meet me at the crossroads, you won't be lonely. And I used to sing it all the time, man. And I came home, and my mom had this tape. She's like, here, I got you something. And I looked at it, I was like, what? This I got a tape? And she bought me a cassette player along with it. Man, I was jamming that thing in, and I never forget, man. I was in third grade, and this was back when you had the little Walkmans, and you put the tape in, and it'll read you a book. And you're supposed to be reading the book to the tape. And me and my friends said, time with that, man. We put the Bone Thug in there. And we were just like reading the book, man. And my teacher took it. And I never got it back, man.
What?
I'm pissed. It's crazy you bring up Bone Thugs, though. That was my first introduction into music.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's crazy.
Wow.
That was crazy.
And on the cassettes.
On the cassette. I'm speaking my age right now.
I'm trying to think what cassettes I had. I had, like, Disney movie cassettes.
Yeah.
And, like, there was a girl I was trying to... In fourth grade, I had a crush on a girl, and she loved Spice Girls.
I remember the
Spice Girls cassettes.
For sure.
And I was, like, rocking that.
Man, that's crazy.
That is crazy. It worked. It worked. We found the common ground.
For sure.
God,
I can dig that.
My first CD was a... TLC Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls.
Wow.
But like the single. So it's just like four different versions of Waterfalls.
Wow. You know, it's crazy you bring up singles. I think my second tape was the Marshall Mathers EP. I think it was a demo to it though. Some guy was just handing them out at the parade.
Whoa.
And I had jammed it. I never told my parents I had it though. It was some bad stuff in there. So I just jammed it on my own time, man. I never forget that.
Yeah, those early days of Eminem and like being a kid that had that album.
Dude.
Like, can't let my parents hear this
dude
at all.
Dude. And then, like, I think when I was coming up, it was all about who could spit the... Nowadays, everybody want to talk, but they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Like, whoever could do that was the man, you know what I'm saying? And yeah. I studied it to the T. Yeah, so...
That's crazy. I remember being in middle school and just seeing kids that could like rap along with it, being like, "Oh wow!"
Yeah, nah, I couldn't rap, but I knew that. I knew that that hook right there. I knew that one for sure. Big time, man.
Well, so My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy comes mm-hmm. out. What track stood out to you when it hit?
Well, of course, when I heard Power, that was on the radio at the time, and when I heard Power, and when I heard him. And I'm a big fan of the word elements. And so when I heard him go into those elements, like, you know, seeing, like, playing the samples coming in, and then, you know, this will be a beautiful death. Like, that for me, like, hearing that extra, I never heard extra stuff like that in music. I never heard that much creativity. That for me, I was like, what is this? I don't know what this is, man. And then hearing the album just blew my mind, man. But I think Power stood out for me. And then when I actually got the album, I have it on vinyl too. I'm going to brag about that. When I actually got the album, Devil in a New Dress was everything to me. That was one of the coldest Rick Ross verses of all time.
That's so good.
All time. And there was another one that I like. I like the whole album. Monster was good.
Yeah.
I mean, of course the whole album, but... Runaway. Runaway for me... I'm trying to see which record on Judas that I mimic. I can't remember, but I remember sending my producer like, yo, listen to Runaway again, and then just put a spin on it, you know? Yeah. So that for me was everything. I'm a huge Pusha T fan as well, so.
Do you know the story behind Pusha T's verse on Runaway?
No.
So when they're all in Hawaii recording
okay,
and
remember that.
Writing everything and doing everything, Kanye's like, you know, I need a verse from you for Runaway.
Yeah.
And Pusha gives him one as like, great.
And, sounds bad, right?
Kanye looks at it and is like, no. He's like, go rewrite it. And he's like, douchier. Make it douchier. And Pusha goes and rewrites and comes back and he's like, here you go, man. And Kanye's like, no.
Twice.
Go rewrite it. Douchier. And it was something where like all day Pusha just had to keep going and like he made him just redo, and they're all playing basketball, they're all making music, and Pusha's just sitting there like writing, bringing it back, having to go back, rewrites.
Wow.
And he said that thing that was going on was that he had just ruined a relationship by being too much of like the celeb douchebag.
Pusha or Ye?
Pusha.
Okay.
So that he had kind of been avoiding going to that place, but Ye kept making him go back and rewrite it.
And then that's the influence came in. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to that song with a whole different perspective now.
Yeah, it's so cool. Like, I get so excited because I used to love that verse just in general.
Yeah.
And then...
every bag comes with a price tag. You should face it.
Yeah.
You should leave if you can't accept the basics. Like, yeah. It's so truthful. I remember using that verse in a relationship. You know, it's like, dude, that album came out and I was in a bad place in my life. I'm not gonna lie, I was in a horrible place. I was in a situation that I did not want to be in. And I remember listening to that album and I would reference it every argument. You know, it's like, I'm a douchebag, I'm an asshole. Like, what are you gonna do about it?
Runaway.
Yeah. And so
Runaway.
That album sticks with me. But that's crazy. I never knew that story.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
That's crazy. One of my favorites. crazy. And then going into Yeezus.
Okay.
Did you have any resistance to Yeezus when it came out, or were you on board immediately?
I didn't get it at first. I think the first night I listened to it, I was mad because I had this date and she invited her sister over, and so the date went blah because her sister's there. And so I laid on the ground listening to the Yeezus album on the ground while them two slept in the bed. And I'm listening to the whole thing loud. At this time, the Dre Beats had just came out and I had like the pros and you could hear them through the headphones. I'm like cranking it up. And I got down to Bound 2. And, I was like, okay, I got to re-listen to this. I think this is what we do. Don't tell your mom shit. And I was like, yeah, this album's for me. And I went back and I listened to it again, man. And it's definitely an album that sticks with me.
Yes. Yeah, any key moments?
New Slaves for me was a dope record just because it didn't have any drums in it. And he showed his creativity of just like playing notes. You know, I never knew I could be so addicted to just a sound. Like that for me was crazy, you know? And, you know, him displaying everything on the buildings, even though I did not get to see it because they shut it down in Austin. I was super pissed. But him displaying his face on these buildings and on these walls was everything for me, man. Can't Hold My Liquor was another favorite. I love Bon Iver. I love Bon Iver. Like, I remember listening to Bon Iver the first time I was on an airplane, went to Atlanta, and that's all I listened to in the air. You know, I thought that was a crazy moment for me. So, but
that's a trip because it's such an atmospheric album. Like his self-titled, mm-hmm. or his For Emma.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're both like just so.
Yeah, and I never knew that. What's the record that's on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy that's also on his album?
Lost in the World?
Yeah, I never knew that there was an original version of that until I went and listened. I was like, what?
And it's crazy. Like, it builds up this crazy sound.
Yeah, that was everything to me. Yeah. Everything.
Do you like 22 A Million?
Dude. Let's not talk about that.
That's a whole other.
I started, when that album came out, I sent a lot of those records to my producer to sample. Yeah. And I have a lot of stuff that a lot of people haven't heard that has samples in it of that record. I'm trying to put them out. We're trying to figure out creative ways to release that music. But yeah.
There's a guy I need to set up a story with who was a writer on one of the records on 22 A Million.
Whoa.
And I'm just like, I'm very excited to just kind of talk with him about the Kanye world, but then the Bon Iver
Jump into that. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, because that album's just...
Yeah, and what he does with his vocals is just... It seems so easy, and it's not. as an artist trying to go in there and mimic that, nope. Think again, so... I love that though, man. I love, you know, that creativity in his voice. I love how he makes auto-tune something cool and not something like, oh, you need auto-tune because you can't sing.
Right.
You know, nah, it's not about that. It's just about the creative layers of using it, you know. And
the flexibility that it gives to...
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, that's his use of Bon Iver, both on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy and then on Yeezus.
Yeah.
Crazy, which that was.
Was there any on Life of Pablo?
I was gonna say, I think that's my one regret of Life of Pablo, that there's not Bon Iver showing up and blowing my mind.
That's crazy.
Maybe on this new one.
Fingers crossed.
Maybe.
Yeah, for sure.
What the news of all the albums coming out?
Yeah.
How what?
Pusha.
Yeah, that's dude. Is that one?
I'm so ready for Pusha's album. I'm glad that he's helping Tiana as well. Yeah. I think last album he didn't shed a lot of light on her and help her out a little bit. So I'm glad that he's, because she's very talented. Mm. And I think she just needs some kind of creative spin on her music. So I'm glad he's doing that. Kid Cudi and Kanye on the same album. Like, I don't even know what to think. I don't know what to expect, but I'm ready for it. And then he's supposed to be doing a Nas album.
Yeah.
And I'm all the way in for that.
Like, what?
Yeah, man. A lot of people say Nas doesn't know how to pick beats. You know, that goes around a lot, like, oh, Nas is horrible at picking beats and all of this. I was like, no, he's not, man. He has his own story and his own thing going on in his head that it's not all about the production. Nas wants you to hear what he's saying in his lyrics, and that's what matters the most. I'm excited about all of them. Honestly, I am.
Yeah, because what's Kanye solo producing all of these is insane.
Yeah, that's...
And just, what's he do with Nas? Like, what's he do...
What's he do with Push?
Yeah.
That's my thing. Like, because Kanye is his specialty is soul samples. So, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just waiting like the kid on Christmas, honestly.
Push on a bunch of soul samples.
On a soul, like, you don't hear that a lot. You know, I think we're used to hearing clips, and I think we're used to hearing Pusha on, you know, Pharrell's records, and we're used to hearing, although we do have, New God Flow had a Ghostface sample in it.
Yeah.
That was kind of a sample, but I don't think it was so much soulful. So I don't know. I have no clue, but I'm ready. I am ready.
It's gonna be
a good May. It's gonna be a good June.
Yeah.
And you know what's crazy is that he's dropping two albums in June and my daughter's turning two in June.
Ah.
That was everything for me.
You're just like,
so he better stick with the plan.
For real. Yeah, that's some nice synchronicity.
Yeah,
just you like
stick with it.
Here you go, like happy birthday. I got you these Kanye
Oh, I'm
albums.
Doing that. I'm definitely doing that.
Hopefully there's a physical, I like physical copies of things, I bothered you guys about, like, can I get the Judas CD?
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. We were going to get that to you regardless.
But there not being any Life of Pablo CD, I was just like,
oh, wow, I never thought of that. And I think he tweeted that out, didn't he? I'm not doing any more hard copies.
Yeah.
Why? Like,
give me the art. Give me that thing to have in my hands.
We gotta just start just tweeting at him.
every hour. That's but I do love the fact that he kind of stuck to his guns with the Yeezus case, where he's like, "This is the death of the album."
Yeah.
And or the death of the CD.
Of the CD.
And then he just
boom.
I'm like, well, I admire your conviction, but can I just
can I get a vinyl or something?
Give me something.
Yeah.
What you eventually like got into Yeezus and liked Yeezus when Life of Pablo came out. Same kind of Yeezus response or more Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy?
I think the Life of Pablo was a little bit more different because he released Shoes with it, and I'm a big shoe connoisseur, and I think that made me like it even more, you know, just seeing the way that he released everything together. That first record was, I played it on repeat for a while. You know, it touched me, you know, it definitely touched me. And hearing that choir build up, you know what I'm saying? And you kind of got to hear this Kanye that you never heard before, you know, and that was everything for me, you know, and then going into track two and then taking that, because it was built off a sample. And then it went into Designer, you know, Designer's record, which was very creative for me. But I definitely think it was a little bit different than listening to Yeezus. I wouldn't say Yeezus was hard to digest. I definitely think it was just like trying to get used to something different.
Yeah.
And that's all it was. Because once I got used to it, oh boy, it was bad, you know, and Kanye, that was an era for him in Yeezus where it was like, I think he said like, oh, y'all don't want to let me play, all right, well, you better hope the ball doesn't roll to me or I'm gonna keep shooting, you know what I'm saying? And that for me was like, all right, cool, yeah, this is me, like, if you don't like my music, if you don't like me, then whatever, I'm still gonna keep doing it. And I was in that era of life, so it helped me get through that time. So
yeah, it's funny how Kanye albums are so kind of era driven in our own lives.
Yeah,
like you can think of each album and think about like this period
where
of your
you
life.
Were.
Yeah,
where you were, man.
And it's almost crazy. Never the same.
Yeah, definitely. And that's crazy. Even in your attire, you know, even like the way, you know, you dress at the time. Like, you know, I've always like mimicked him and tried to be like him in all kinds of stuff. And you know, if you listen to, I don't know, Graduation, you know, you be wearing shutter shades and you know, and stuff like that. And then you listen to Yeezus and you're wearing skinny leather joggers. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely a process, man. But I think he does that well. And now you're wearing sweatshirts and shorts with Wave Runners. Like, he definitely pushes you to be, you know, more comfortable. With yourself.
Since I got the first pair of Yeezys, I feel like if I just have on like a t-shirt and gym shorts and I put on the Yeezys,
no matter what you wear,
yeah, like
conversation.
I'm suddenly like a little bit more like fashionable.
Exactly. And the gift, and we talked about this earlier in the gift and curse of it, is like, it's a conversation starter. You know, people will come up and admire that you have a pair of X amount of dollars sneakers on. And that makes two people talk, two strangers talk to each other, you know, and look at what that's creating. He's spreading love through his attire, through his sneakers, you know, without even have to do anything. Like, that's the big picture of everything. So
it's crazy. Like, the music brings people together, the fashion brings people together. Yeah. And that shows just the potential that these things have. They're not just products. I mean, they can be.
Yeah, that's true.
But like,
they can be.
I don't know. There's always a good side and a dark side to things, and it
definitely
seems like he's kind of trying to do things in more the the good side.
Definitely, and he's trying to make things more affordable as well. You know, as I remember when the Yeezys came out, as far as with Nike, no one could afford those things. You know, I had to spend a whole check, you know, trying to get that stuff. And so now that you know, he signed with Adidas. Things are starting to light up. You know, it's going to take him some time to get where he wants to get. I think he's trying to get on like a Shaquille O'Neal Walmart level. It's going to take a while. But, you know, I think that's the cool part of it. He wants everyone to have a pair of Yeezys.
Yeah.
He tweeted that at one time. That was cool.
What he said today that there's 160 jobs available at Yeezy.
Oh, yeah. 159 now.
Yeah.
You see, Ebro got in a text with him and was like, yo, man, this and that, this and that. I need a job at Yeezy. It's like, done.
The Ebro thing's so confusing to me.
It is.
He's been like, I love Kanye, all about, mm-hmm. like, I'm explaining, and then he'll shit talk him.
Yeah, and he bashed him. He said something like, he'll never be real as Jay-Z. He'll never out-truth J. Cole. He'll never be able to rap, out-rap Kendrick. And I can't remember what the last
Drake.
One was. Oh, and he'll never be able to out-hit Jake. Drake. Have you heard Stronger?
Right.
Do you see the numbers on Stronger?
Right.
This man has plenty of hits. This man has hits that he's not even on, that he just produced.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that talk.
He's not trying to make hits at this point.
Yeah,
Drake
exactly.
wants hits. That's all Drake wants.
Exactly. Exactly. And I love Drake. You know, I love all of the artists he mentioned, but he was stating it as if Kanye was worried about those things.
Yeah, desperate to.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think he's worried about any of that. I think he's worried about spreading love, trying to figure out how Yeezy can hit a billion as a brand and push creators to be creative in their own ways. That's what I get from it.
I agree with that 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a top three albums, Kanye albums.
Top three Kanye albums. Okay, so we're going to start with three.
Okay. Dramatic. Make it dramatic.
And I'm going to say Yeezus.
Okay.
Because I was in this place, personally, I was in a place where I needed some type of guidance and I needed something to get me over the hill at the time in place I was in. I didn't have a lot of money. I was working at a job making $10 an hour and I just wasn't happy with where my life was. And hearing that album made me feel like, all right, man, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what people think of you. Like, do whatever you have to do to get where you need to go. And that's what that album done for me. Two, I'm going to say Graduation. I was in college. This was 2007. And this album came out, man. And I remember skipping class all day. And I didn't have money. I didn't have money then. So I got it off of Pirate Bay. And those that are not familiar with Pirate Bay, it's the site where you could, yeah. Anyway, and I got the album there and I jammed it, man, and everything from it, from start to finish was everything to me, man. I eventually dropped out after a half a semester and started pursuing my music because of that album itself. And especially the artwork from Tekashi. It was everything. It was crazy.
I tried to interview him. I was going to Japan.
Whoa.
And I was like, I'm going to be in Japan. Can I please interview him? And
yeah.
They're like, he doesn't feel like he could adequately speak English to conduct the interview. And then I just see this motherfucker's Instagram posts. They're all in English. I see him doing like 30-minute interviews with people all in English.
Yeah.
And I'm just that's a very polite blow-off.
Yep.
But like, do you think I'm not going to watch
exactly.
a single video? Or like
exactly. Yeah, man. But that album was everything. I'm not going to say I know it word for word, but I might know it word for word.
Do you got the glory down word for word?
This is the glory. Maybe. I'm not going to put myself on the spot, though. and then, of course, number one, I don't think, you know, we have to even test that, but would be My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Just because of where it took me as an artist and how it made me feel as an individual and a listener. I had never heard anything like that. It was next level. He implicated choirs. He implicated different samples. It took me forever to even know that was Nicki Minaj at the beginning of the album. To the features he chose and getting Raekwon and people of that era on the album, to the guitars and the pianos and the short film and him raising the doors on, what was that, a Diablo, and getting out and picking up whatever he picked up, Bird, whatever it was, his fantasy. And just seeing that, man, as an artist and playing the NPC and her dancing and them grooving to it was everything for me, man. And that sold me as an artist and made me want to continue to pursue music and look to him as an advisor, or look to him, as you said, a blueprint of where I wanted to go as an artist. And that's why that will probably be my favorite album of all time forever.
Yeah, because that's something really, especially at the point that you're at, where 3 years earlier you make the decision to leave school. Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm pursuing music full time. And you already had the inspiration in your head of College Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation, all the other guys. But Kanye's kind of that next level ahead of the curve when it comes to all the production stuff.
Definitely.
And then when you hear My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, it's like whatever ceiling you thought that was there, or whatever height you thought you had to get to, there's now suddenly like a whole other galaxy that you have to get into.
Definitely. And it's crazy, man. It's crazy everything that was put into it, you know, and going back and doing your research and reading up on everything that he did as far as crafting that body of work together. Was just everything, man. It was everything to me. And I will always use that as a base of like, all right, what can I do, you know, not to steal, but what can I do to, you know, push the envelope a little bit?
Yeah, which a weird... I've been writing poetry since I was 14.
Oh, wow.
And
that's how I started rapping, actually.
Yeah,
the second grade, we were practicing poetry and making words rhyme at the time. And that's when I was like, I like this. I like this. So that's great.
I like that. I like that little moment. Make words rhyme at the time.
Oh wow! Like, you know, hey, you know,
busting the rhyme right there.
I'm in my yay mode here.
But like T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland, I just constantly go back, and everything I'm writing, I'm like, where can I pull from The Wasteland?
Gotcha.
How does this compare to The Wasteland? Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's nice to kind of have that thing that's your kind of your greatest opponent.
Yeah,
that you're always going to come back to. Like,
definitely.
Can I top you? Can I top you?
Definitely. And I think that's going to be hard to top Judith. I think right now that's my biggest fear. I've actually invested in my own studio in my house. It's a lot easier taking that I have a 2-year-old and that I need to be around her as much as I can. That's huge for me. And so I have a studio downstairs. And so I've been just, you know, casually trying to figure out which direction I want to go in. And it's like, man, how am I going to do this? How am I going to top this album? This is really good. Not to my own horn, but I spent a lot of time on that album.
It's really fucking good.
Yeah, thank you.
Like, I'll toot the horn.
Thank you. And so, I don't know. But I think that's the challenge of it. It's like you can do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just knowing that it's just that process of taking those steps and being like, yes,
definitely.
Yes, no, and just following that path.
Exactly.
Five favorite Kanye tracks.
Ooh.
Can be top five, or it could just be five.
I don't know top five. I'm just gonna like randomly throw them out there. How about this? How about I start from, I'm gonna say All Falls Down. That kind of like put me in a perspective as an artist. Drive Slow. That one for me, hearing Paul Wall and GOC on that record, was everything. And I remember me and my cousin used to laugh at, he said something about how many TVs he had in his car, and GLC was like, that don't make no sense. And we used to laugh like crazy at that. What else? Big Brother was definitely a top one for me. What was that? In the night, I hear him call. What was that? What was the only story ever told? Somewhere far along this world, and lost his soul. Woman so heartless is for.
I knew it would get there.
Yeah, the visuals to that were everything.
Hype Williams.
I'm going to name six. I know I was supposed to name five, and I'm going to name six.
How dare
because,
you? How
because dare there's you? No way I could leave out Devil in a New Dress. Mm. That record, whew, was everything to me, man. The sample and everything. And I'm gonna go with my number one track would be Runaway. Just because I used to listen to that song, man, when I was in a place where I felt like giving up, period. Not even on music, period. I didn't want to do it, man. And I used to listen to that song, man, and I was like, it is okay, man. You're good. Like, you're good. Everything's going to be fine. You got to keep pushing. You got to keep going to where you want to go, man. And hey, I'm here. I got an album out. Got a beautiful daughter. I got a family.
Yeah.
And it paid off.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. Like, as dark as things can seem at times, when you just give it time,
yeah,
and just give it space,
definitely,
how you can come through and be like, this is where I'm at now.
For
this
sure.
is nice.
For sure, for sure.
But at the time, it's really...
Oh my gosh, it was shitty.
Yes.
It was. It was, man. But, yeah, we made it. Yeah, we made it. Yeah, we made it, man. Yeah, dude, definitely.
Speaking of making it, I think we made it to the last call. So you get you get your uninterrupted period of time to say whatever you want to say about anything you want to say. You could talk about.
I'm gonna just ramble.
Yeah,
First thing I'm gonna say is, you know, I've been a fan of Kanye for a long time, since I want to say eighth grade. Hearing, you know, Through the Wire and All Falls Down and things like that. I think as listeners, we need to remember that this man is a genius, you know, and if you don't agree with that, then that's fine, you know, but in this time in America, man, we need to really capitalize on spreading love. You know, there's a lot that's going on, you know, and it's scary. You know, especially for African Americans. And we just need to remember that if someone is trying to spread love, then essentially just let them create in their own space and in their own zone, and not judge from what you see, but judge from the bigger picture and the bigger size of things. You may not agree with everything that they're doing. And I'm speaking not even only on Kanye, I'm speaking on anything in life. Like, continue to accept people, you know, for what they are and who they are, even if you don't agree with them, man. Find aspects and different small things about them and traits to love, you know. Another thing I want to say is I got a pretty sweet album out called Judith, and I'd like for everybody to listen to it. If you haven't, you know, just go to Spotify or go to iTunes or go to SoundCloud or go to whatever it is you have, Tidal, which I would prefer, and type in D-E-E-Z-I-E Brown. The album is entitled Judith. I worked on it for 2 years and it's out, and I want you to listen to it. And if you don't like it, I want you to send it to somebody that might like it. And if they don't like it, I want you to tell them to send it to somebody that might like it. Another thing I want to say, and I'm going to close out, is I'm working on a new album. It is called, I don't know what it's called yet. Actually, I do, but I don't want to say it yet, just because I changed my mind a lot. And I hope that you guys remain fans and remain, you know, loyal to the music you love. Continue to listen to Kanye, continue to, you know, stay loyal to the things that you believe in, continue to create, and continue to spread love. Most importantly, because tomorrow is not promised, man. And we have to remember that this life we live in is extremely short. And you want to do the best that you can while you are here. Signing off, my name is DZ Brown, and this is the Kanye Podcast.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons, oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil. Unser Bestes.